Chapter 31. The Last Conflict. Mrs. Tulliver stayed with Maggie at Bob Jakins' house for the first 2 days, but then Maggie told her to go back to the mill and take care of Tom. She wanted to be alone with her sorrow. Maggie lived very quietly at Bob's house for the rest of the summer. When Lucy was a little better, she asked Maggie to come and see her. Lucy told Maggie that she forgave her, and the two cousins cried in each other's arms. A few days later, Maggie received a noble, loving letter from Philip. He said he understood that she had never meant to hurt him. He said he would always be there if she needed him. He mentioned bad headaches and said he never left his father's house these days. Autumn came, and with it the rains. Bob shook his head and said he had never seen such rains, but he remembered his grandfather telling him that it had rained for days and days before the last great flood. The hours were very long and dreary for Maggie. She sat in her room, looking out of the window and watching the raindrops pelting the surface of the river. Even when it was not raining, Maggie never went into town. She knew that she was the subject of gossip there, and she thought that if they did not see her, people would forget her and all her mistakes. Soon she would be going away, for Miss Furniss had written to say that she could come and teach at the school after Christmas. It made Maggie very sad to think about starting a new life, going to a new place and seeing new faces. She was so tired. One day in September, she received a letter. It was from Stephen. He was at Mudport, but he had not yet told his family that he was back in England. From beginning to end, the letter was a passionate cry of reproach. Why had she sacrificed his hopes and hers? What was the point in choosing to suffer when their suffering could not save Lucy and Philip from suffering? Did she not realise how much he, Stephen, was suffering? He could not live without her.
Maggie, write me one word. Say, come, and I will be there with you. Have you forgotten what it was like to be together?
Maggie felt that her real temptation had only just begun. Again she struggled with her own desires. She thought of her meeting with Lucy and of Philip's letter. They had both been so loving and forgiving. Surely to answer Stephen's plea would cause them more pain. But Stephen himself sounded so miserable, and she was miserable too. All she had to do was write one word, come, and their misery would be over, this dreary, lonely life would be at an end. All day she struggled against her longing to send him that one word. Night came, and the rain pelted the window pane, and still Maggie sat up, reading and rereading Stephen's letter. She tried to sleep, but could not, though it was past 4 o'clock. Finally, she fell to her knees and began to pray.
Oh God, must I struggle and fall and repent again? Will all my life be like this? I am so young and strong. How will I bear all those years of pain?
At that moment, Maggie felt a sudden coldness around her knees and feet. Looking down, she saw that the floor was covered in water. Maggie jumped up and ran to Bob's bedroom, crying,
Bob, wake up! The flood has come! Get up! We must make sure that the boats are safe!
Bob leapt up. The water was rising fast. Maggie and Bob waded through the water to the back door. Outside, by the light of the moon, they saw the two rowboats bobbing on the surface of the water, not far away.
They're safe,
cried Bob.
I must get my mother and my wife into a boat.
Then he was suddenly struck by the fact that Maggie had noticed the flood, had woken him, and had taken the lead in activity. It seemed to Bob that she was one of those who would protect, not one who would need protection.
I'll take the other boat,
said Maggie.
I must go to the mill to help my brother and my mother.
Quickly Maggie got into the boat and took the oars. She started to row the boat, as Stephen had taught her, and suddenly all her troubles and struggles were gone. She felt nothing. The moon set behind the hill, and she was alone in the dark with God. She imagined Tom asleep in the mill as the water rose around him.
Oh, God!
She cried.
Where am I? Which way is home?
She was floating in smooth water now, over the flooded fields. Gradually the sky began to get paler, and she recognised the black forms of trees and buildings. She rowed as fast as she could in the direction of the mill. On she rowed in her wet clothes, her black hair streaming in the wind. On she rowed towards her brother, feeling a strong resurgence of love for him, hoping that they could be reconciled by this great disaster. The water was moving very fast, and the broken limbs of trees were sailing along with the tide. For the first time, Maggie realised that she was in danger. When she got to the mill, she saw that the water had reached the first story. She called out in a loud, piercing voice,
Tom! Where are you?
Tom opened a window at the level of the boat.
Maggie! Are you alone?
Yes, God has taken care of me to bring me to you. Go and get Mother quickly.
Tom climbed out of the window and into the boat.
Mother is staying at my Aunt Dean's house,
he said.
Give me the oars, Maggie.
The sun was just beginning to rise as Tom rowed away from the mill. He sat opposite Maggie and looked at her in awe. The full meaning of what had just happened rushed upon his mind. He had always thought that he saw things clearly, but he had been wrong about Maggie. She was a brave, noble woman. Maggie's eyes were full of intense life, though her face was weary. It seemed a miracle to him that she, a woman alone, could have rowed the boat all the way to the mill in darkness to save him. At last, tears came into his eyes, and he said the only thing he could find to say, his old, childish name for her.
Magsie.
Maggie sobbed with happiness and pain.
Let's go and see if Mother and Lucy are safe, Tom. Then we can go and help others.
Just then, a great piece of floating wood appeared in the water in front of them. Tom looked up and saw Death rushing towards them. He let go of the oars and clasped her in his arms.
It is coming, Maggie!
He cried. The next moment, the boat was no longer to be seen on the water. Brother and sister had gone down in an embrace never to be parted, remembering the days when they had clasped their little hands in love and roamed the fields together.